time now for Ask an Expert. And every weekday at this time on KCBS, we're giving you direct access to top experts in various fields related to the pandemic.
Today, California hospitals are filling up once again as they deal with a surge of COVID hospitalizations amid the seasonal flu and RSV. To answer your questions about this, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, Associate Dean for Clinical Innovation at UCSF and Chief Innovation Officer at UCSF Health. If you have a question you'd like answered, please email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. Dr. Gonzalez, thanks for joining us. I saw a stat that sort of shocked me. We're at double the hospitalization rate this month than we were in October.
Yes, that's right. We are seeing an increase in hospitalizations for COVID just over the last month.
What's causing this, and who are these people who are hospitalized?
Well, the hospitalization rate is likely related to some of the newer variants that are coming out. We still see higher rates of hospitalization in people who have been under-vaccinated or not vaccinated. And again, it still is primarily adults who are older and who have chronic medical conditions.
What are we seeing in terms of wastewater treatment infections?
Well, the wastewater monitoring that happens in Santa Clara County has seen a really dramatic spike in terms of detection rates. The spike is as high or maybe a little higher than what we saw back in January, even though the current rates that we're measuring, you know, from the testing labs don't seem to be as high as January. So we know that there's underreporting. More and more people are doing home antigen tests, which don't get reported to the state usually. So it's a little worrisome that there's a lot more COVID circulating right now than we think from our testing sources.
When you get this strain on hospitals, what ripple effect does that have on the operation?
Well, you know, especially people who get severe COVID, who end up needing ICU care or ventilator care, those patients tend to be in the hospital for quite a number of days or even weeks. And so those beds are beds that we can't use for other people coming in with severe heart attacks, strokes, or now influenza and RSV.
So do you have to reduce services elsewhere in the hospital to make room for more ICU beds?
Well, that's what happened early in the pandemic. We haven't gotten to that point over this past year with the last surge. We still had relatively good protection. I think what has everyone worried is RSV and influenza. Adding that to the COVID beds may require that we go back to reducing elective surgeries and other types of things that we can push out.
So how can we best protect ourselves against these respiratory viruses?
Well, beginning with COVID, I would continue to promote the bivalent booster. And people need to know that this booster is new. It's not like the previous booster in terms of which strains it's targeting. And it can reduce your risk of COVID from 50 to 70%. And even if you do have a breakthrough case, it tends to be milder and you spread less virus. Protection from flu, of course, we promote the flu shot, and it's also has good strain match and is effective at reducing your risk of getting flu, and especially if you're older, reducing the risk of hospitalization. But the other point I'll make is that all of these respiratory viruses, especially flu, tend to be transmitted through hand-eye, hand-mouth contact. And so getting back to the basics of being careful with cleaning your surfaces, being careful with not touching your eyes and mouth with your hands, you know, doing a lot of hand washing, you know, periodically throughout the day, depending on where you've been and what you've been touching. And then getting lots of sleep and reducing your stress. You know, holidays can be very stressful. But we know that when people have a lot of stress or are not getting enough sleep and physical activity, that they have higher rates of infections with these viruses.
Sleep, so, wouldn't that be nice? That would be great. You mentioned the other two viruses we're seeing at this point, the flu and RSV. What are they doing to hospitalization rates?
So RSV primarily affects kids in terms of severe disease. It can affect adults as well. But what we're seeing with the pediatric and children's hospitals across the country, including here in the Bay Area, is that the ICUs and the intensive care units have a lot of kids who are needing respiratory treatment. And so those hospitals are full.
Well, Doctor, given your title as being in charge of innovation, what are some of the innovations being worked on right now when it comes to respiratory viruses?
Well, that's a great question. One area that we've been working hard on is to try to make it easier for patients to get to self-assess the severity and their eligibility for treatment, whether it's for flu or for COVID, and then building online tools or apps on the phones that they can use to enter their symptoms and their history, and then facilitate or expedite a prescription for those treatments, whether it's Tamiflu or oseltamivir for flu or Paxlovid for COVID.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because as laymen at home, the symptoms for all three of those things can be strikingly similar, right?
That's exactly right. And so what we're really urging our own staff and students to do is when they develop symptoms, to get the COVID test early and frequently if they have recurring symptoms, because that's the one test that that we have easy access to. The flu test is a little bit tougher to get, and the home-based tests for flu are not all that sensitive or accurate. So when we do flu testing, we do recommend people do that through a laboratory.
We read a clinical study about the good efficacy of the Novavax after the use of mRNA vaccines and the bivalent mm-hmm. booster. And this is a listener who says, we got our bivalent Moderna booster early September. Our antibodies have waned. And even though we're careful and we always wear a mask, we're concerned about the holidays and the winter surges. Do doctors recommend Novavax for the elderly? And in parentheses, it says 80 plus after waning antibodies from the bivalent mRNA.
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't believe we have formal recommendations in that age group for Novavax following the bivalent booster, but I do think it makes sense. And if there are specific circumstances that that would necessitate getting extra protection for these folks, I would recommend it.
Here's an interesting question. I think I already know the answer to it, but let's shoot it at you anyway. Experts talk about getting COVID and being asymptomatic. Can you be asymptomatic with influenza?
Sure. I mean, both many viruses can infect people without developing symptoms or having very minor symptoms. In general, though, depending on the strains with flu and the flu season this year, I think the vast majority are symptomatic. They'll have cough, fever, aches, and pains. So I don't believe currently that there's too much of a worry with asymptomatic flu.
Well, we just got another listener question based on something you said earlier. You said the bivalent vaccine reduces cases of COVID by 50%. How long does this last?
So another excellent question. Your listeners are tuned in to the latest. We believe at least 3 months there's very solid protection and that it begins to go down after that, whether it's 6 months or 12 months. That's the protection that wanes as it relates specifically to your protection against infection. And I want to make an emphasis there, because the protection against severe disease, hospitalization, or death, that lasts a lot longer because of the type of immunity that it's triggering. So the good news is it could be easily 6 months to a year of protection for those severe outcomes. But for the protection against infection, it may begin to go down at 3 months.
So does that mean we'll be seeing another booster sometime early next year?
I think we're moving towards a place where we would be recommending boosters once a year, because, you know, the impact on the infection, while, you know, it can be most prominent during the cold and flu season, and then as it goes down, it may not affect as many people as we go into these cycles, and that we'll get the full benefit against the most severe outcomes, which is what we mostly care about.
Can you tell us if it's safe to use an indoor pool or hot tub or sauna for that matter?
As it relates to what?
Catching one of these respiratory viruses.
I think what they really want to know is, would the locker room be safe if you're using an indoor pool?
You know, it's an indoor space. It depends how well ventilated it is in terms of how long the virus would be lasting in that area. So I think, you know, some of the hot tubs and saunas that are technically indoors have a lot of outdoor ventilation. But if they're talking about a steam room or a sauna, I think that in my mind, I would not go in there if there's multiple people using it unmasked.
Yeah, so my instinct was correct.
Does that mean you have a steam room at your house?
No. Oh, it's okay. Just that, you know, the cold weather comes and it sounds like a pretty nice thing to do, but yeah, no, not quite yet. And when will it be safe? After winter, right?
Next year.
In summer.
We go to the steam room next year, maybe. Bivalent boosters predominant now. What's on the horizon for us in terms of what changes could we see in vaccines?
That's a good question. I don't have a great crystal ball here, but I believe that what they will do is continue to track the new variants of COVID as they develop, and will continue to modify the mRNA boosters appropriately. Right now, we're still in the same Omicron subvariant zone. It's all part of the same family, and so we've made some tweaks to the vaccine, but it doesn't look like they've identified the next new booster that's going to be necessary. But I know it will come. I mean, with history showing us it will.
Well, we have our fingers crossed for that once-a-year booster that you were talking about, Doctor. Thank you very much for your insights. We've been talking to Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, Associate Dean for Clinical Innovation at UCSF and Chief Innovation Officer at UCSF Health.